Step Into Magic, your weekly online radio show on how to develop your psychic ability, deepen your spirituality, and find your own true purpose, with acclaimed medical intuitive, Josephine Lang. This broadcast is a part of the Wisdom and Intuition Network at worldclasswin.com. This is Anthony Taylor, your host, and on behalf of Josephine, I'll be taking your calls and questions. This week's topic is herbs that heal, the natural pharmacy in your own backyard. During tonight's show, Josephine will be sharing some of her knowledge regarding health and healing. However, she's not a medical doctor. So if you are ill or are suffering from a disease, do please consult your doctor before attempting any natural healing progress. For anyone new to our show, Josephine has been a clairvoyant healer for more than 25 years. During that time, she's helped thousands of people from around the world to heal from hard-to-diagnose and chronic health issues. She's also been a teacher and spiritual mentor for hundreds of people who treasure her insights, courage, and love.
Hello, everyone, and thank you to all of you who got in touch with us this last week. We're so grateful for your notes and messages. And I'd really like to give a special welcome to our many listeners in Russia this past month, and Brazil and Australia, as well as everyone across North America and the rest of the world. So nice to know that you're all tuned in. And I set up a little map. Frank helped me set up a map of the world with colored pins in it to represent all the different countries that have tuned into our show. And there are parts of Europe and South America that are so thick with pins that I just couldn't fit some of them in. Isn't that wonderful? I just thought it was so much fun. And tonight I'm going to be introducing you to some of my very favorite friends. And these are the herbs and plants that I use or recommend nearly every day. And most of these grow around the world, and they're often considered to be weeds because they grow so vigorously. And herbal teas and tinctures and dried and powdered herbs can move our blood and purify it and reduce inflammation and detoxify our systems and boost our immunity and help us to heal cuts and wounds and really to heal whatever ails us. So they are really great helpers. And we're going to be also talking a little bit about the difference between standard Western model of healing and the natural plant-based medicines that people have used throughout millennia. So these plants that we're going to be talking about are often found growing right where we're living. But before I go into this topic any further, I always like to begin our show with our spiritual agreement. And this was a gift to me from my friend and mentor, Jana Massey. And I'd like to ask you all to please make this agreement with me. It's a beautiful one. And it goes like this. Together, we acknowledge that everything that we think, that we say, and that we do at this time will be of the highest good. And together we ask for truth, the understanding of that truth, and the wisdom to use it in our lives. Can you all agree?
I do.
Me too, and thank you, everyone, for joining me in this.
Thank you, Josephine. Now, I just thought, before we get going, I ought to say something about the little glitch we had last week.
Oh, yes.
About three-quarters of the way through the show, suddenly the telephone lines went down, and that meant that everyone listening got to hear some canned music for a minute or two before we got back on the air. And so for up until today, I believe, on the replay, there was that little bit of canned music for everyone to hear, but that's now gone. And so that's all fixed, if you were wondering what was happening there.
Yes, thanks to Frank.
Thank you, Frank.
And thank you, Frank, also for the beautiful slides that we'll have tonight.
Right, now we've received a message, which I'd like to read out straight away, because it's about what you're about to talk about this evening.
Oh, great.
From a listener in Northern California.
All right.
And he writes, are you aware of the story about the man studying medicine in India who was sent to find a plant with no medicinal benefits? After 7 days, he gave up and returned, expecting to fail the final exam. But he was awarded his degree with honors because all plants have medicinal values. And that's with love from a listener in Northern California.
Oh, that's a great story. And, yes, I have heard that one. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, I think that might have been Deepak Chopra's story. I think I've heard it before, and it's such a great one.
It is.
Yeah, and it's really true because all plants are useful or they serve us medicinally. And briefly, to just cover the difference between what's known as allopathic medicine, which is our standard Western medicine, and natural healing, the two schools of thought got started way back, you know, some couple hundred years ago. And with the standard Western medical model of healing, it's a wonderful model, really serves us very well, as many of us know. And what the basic premise is there is that if there is a problem, you either cut it out, like with surgery, or you poison it, which we use, like, for instance, chemotherapy drugs, those kinds of things. Or you do something to make the symptoms go away, which is usually, so this is usually a drug therapy or surgery. And then the natural model of healing, the one that is sort of more plant-based or herbally based, is where you use the plants and the herbs more as tonics to build the health of the body or to pull the toxins out of the body. And then that lifts the body's well-being and health to a higher degree so that the body heals itself. So those are the two different camps and the two different schools of thought. And it's just the way that things go. You know, the one school, our Western standard Western model, became a more dominant school of thought and sort of came across as being what we have embraced. But I love Rupert Sheldrake. He's my favorite scientist. And he wrote this wonderful book a year or so back called Science Set Free, 10 Paths to New Discovery. And in it, he talks about 10 prevalent dogmas that are really powerful in our thoughts and beliefs. And they include things like, you know, is matter unconscious, or, you know, are memories stored as material traces? But one of them, or another one, is are psychic phenomena illusory? In other words, is it an illusion? Now, of course, I believe that psychic phenomena are real because I am a psychic. I work as a psychic. And, you know, you just can't explain these things and you can't repeat them, but they are still very much a part of our reality. And to me, it's just shoddy science that we don't include something in our scientific data that is such a common experience to everyone just because it's not provable or repeatable. So one of the dogmas that Rupert talks about, which is very near and dear to my heart, is mechanistic medicine the only kind that really works? And, of course, it's not. I mean, we do have wonderful benefits from our mechanistic model of medicine. That's the standard Western model. But we also know that there's much that comes from the herbal world and from the energetic world as well in healing, shamanic healing and whatnot. So, anyway, I just would like to refer you to his book because it's a beautiful book and he's got lots of good ideas in there. And, you know, we do know that diet and lifestyle can have a tremendous effect on our health and healing and our well-being. And so just, you know, to sort of look at a little more inclusive and integrated medical system that includes both modalities, I think, as he says, would be cheaper and more effective than an exclusively mechanistic system. So that little bit to share with you there. And let's see. Maybe you can show us our next slide then, Tony, if you would.
Certainly, I'd love to.
Okay, and this is a quote from a dear friend of mine studied in the jungles of the Amazon in Peru in, I think it was the latter part of the last century, in the 1980s, 1990s. And she had a mentor and teacher there named Dari Kikin, and he used to say that the plants are our doctors, and it's really true. And herbal remedies have really served humanity for millennia in keeping our bodies healthy, be it cleaning the colon with, you know, willow bark that's been made into charcoal and powdered. We know we use charcoal in the filters of our sinks and in our showers and in cleaning all sorts of things, and it's a beautiful thing to run through the body as well to pull out all kinds of bacteria and stuff. Or perhaps we're targeting neoplastic cells using the leotril of apricot pits. So neoplastic cells are cells that are growing irregularly and in misshapen forms, and that's the type of cell that they use neoplastic cells to describe cancer cells. And then leotril is one of those compounds that's found in the pits of apricots, that target neoplastic cells. And so we'll do a lot more on healing 2 weeks from now from disease, but I just wanted to mention a little bit about some of the benefits that we get, the broad spectrum of benefits that we can get from plants and from our medicinal herbs. But tonight is more about staying well. And so if that is the art, and it's the old term for it, is called simpling, S-I-M-P-L-I-N-G, simpling. And that's where we're using leaves and seeds or seed pods or bark or roots to make tinctures or extracts. So tinctures are where you soak the plant parts in usually an alcohol, like a good brandy. I like to use Korbel brandy. And that will draw out the alkaloids from the plant, which are the healing chemicals that are alcohol soluble. Or you can use water, like boiling water, to make a tea to draw out the water-soluble plant chemicals, phytochemicals that are healing. And whatever method we're using, maybe drying the herbs and crushing them up with a mortar and pestle and then putting them in and making little capsules or little tablets, or doing teas or infusions, or putting, I like to put sliced roots of medicinal herbs in soups. One of my favorites to do that with is astragalus, which we'll be talking about in just a little while. And what I usually do when I'm doing my simpling, like for instance, if I'm going to do an extract, perhaps it's an oil extract where I might soak some herbs in an oil, like perhaps arnica flowers, which are great, we'll talk about, for bruises and sprains. You'd put the flowers in a nice olive oil and let them sit. I usually put them up on the new moon and then let them come to their fullness in 2 weeks later at the full moon. You use the rising energy of the moon to go ahead and draw those phytochemicals out of the plants. So be it an oil extract or an alcohol extract or any other method of preparing, like if I'm going to be harvesting some whole plant herb like shepherd's purse, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, I'll go ahead and pull the whole plant out of the ground, clean off the root, and then let it dry a little bit on the guest bed, which is where we have a good spot where we can spread out some, you know, spread out a king-size sheet or something and lay the herbs out there to lightly dry. And the whole room will become pungent with the smell of those alkaloids, those plant chemicals as they are diffusing into the air. And at about the fourth day when it's mostly dried, then I'll go ahead and, because you don't want to have a wet plant material going into your alcohol extract, that can carry more bacteria. You want it to be dried, but you don't want it so completely dried. So then I'll let it dry for about 4 days, and then I'll put it in the alcohol, chop it all up and put it in the alcohol, and then let it go the rest of the way for the 2 weeks, which would be another, you know, 9 or 10 days or so in the alcohol until the full moon. And some people will do up double extracting to get an even more potent. I like to do my extracts very potent. So a tincture can be relatively weak, and an extract is usually stronger. So a tincture might only have a third of the volume is herbs to two-thirds or the full amount of alcohol, like the Korbel brandy I mentioned, or Christian Brothers is another one that people like to use for simpling. Or you can go ahead and, let's see, I lost my train of thought. Hold on. I was thinking of alcohol extracting or with oil. Well, anyway, it doesn't too much matter. I've pretty much covered it. That's the basics of it. And then we can use these herbs for preventing illness or for maintaining our health or for healing ourselves. And so with that, why don't you show our next slide, Tony, and we'll go with that there.
Good. Yes, I'm really looking forward to hearing your favorite.
Yes, so this is my first time. It's really hard to put these lists together, and all of our slides together are my top 25 favorite herbs. Actually, I think it might be more like 26 because I just couldn't cut off Gymnema at the end. And so my very first, probably the one that I use the most and turn to most frequently, is echinacea extract. And echinacea is a beautiful healing herb. Many of you have probably heard of this. This is colds and flus. And what echinacea does is it really builds, it engages the immune system. When we take echinacea, it says, okay, we've got an emergency. Let's get out all of our T cells and B cells, all of our top guns of the immune system to come forward and look for whatever invader we have. And so if we've been exposed to a virus or a cold, if someone's just sneezed in our face, I carry echinacea with me in my purse, a little alcohol extract. And Oh, that's what I was talking about. It was double extracting. And you just do the herbs a second time in the same alcohol. So it's twice as strong. So you use the alcohol that you've used once before to extract an herb, and then you load it up with fresh herbs all over again and extract a second time into that alcohol. So it's just to really make strong. And I like to make strong and very potent herbal medicine. And so another one that I like to do is astragalus. And astragalus is a root, and I usually buy that one sliced at our little natural foods co-op. They have a wonderful bulk herb section there, and they always have astragalus. Sometimes I'll put it in soups, too, if I'm making a soup, if it's the cold season, cold and flu season. I'll put a few slices of the root in the soup, and then as the soup is boiling away, the root will give up its goodness to the soup. And then before I serve the soup, I just remove those woody roots because they would not be very palatable. It would be impossible to chew them. They're pretty tough. But astragalus, the difference between astragalus and echinacea is that astragalus builds the immune system. So echinacea engages it. It says, we've got a problem. Let's move on it. Astragalus rebuilds the immune system and really encourages the growth of more of those T cells formed in the bone marrow and whatnot.
So would you be taking the astragalus after an illness more? Or?
Yeah, usually I take astragalus in between. And they say, you know, oh, you should never take echinacea for more than 2 weeks at a time. I think it's just mostly because you're engaging the immune system. It's not that it's, you know, well, I mean, I don't know, but it's not that it's, you know, a big, huge problem. I've known lots of people who've taken echinacea for long periods of time without any adverse effects. But what I generally do is advise, and what most people generally advise, is that you take the echinacea for 1 to 2 weeks or as needed, and then the astragalus you might take for 1 to 2 weeks. So if you were in a healing protocol, you would just switch back and forth between the two to build the immune system and engage the immune system. Build and engage, build and engage. And then I also put on this top list golden seal root powder, because this is another one that I carry in my purse with me everywhere I go, because it's such a great anti-infective. It really helps us to prevent infection. I've used it on burns, bad burns, right away. You can just sprinkle on the golden seal root powder, and oh my gosh, does it do a fabulous job about healing, perhaps mixed with aloe vera for a burn, which we'll talk more about in just a little bit. But golden seal root powder is an antibiotic. It's great for the immune system. It's also a really great one that you can actually use in the eyes, because sometimes we have a problem where, you know, we've got some sort of an injury in our eye and we need to clear that up. So we can use golden seal root powder as a what's a tisane or a tea, you know, where you take a small amount of boiling water and you extract the goodness from the root powder into the water. And then you can go ahead and use it in the eyes, which is what I've done. And it's also, like I said, great for skin. It's also known for ulcers and, as I mentioned, excellent for burns. Then chia seed, you know, what a wonderful little plant chia is. And, you know, talk about easy to grow. It grows like a weed. You can just get your chia seeds anywhere in the grocery store. And you know, we get ours in the co-op there, bulk raw, and you can just seed them out into the garden. You know, line the side of the driveway with chia seed. You can just sprinkle it out there. And believe me, this little plant will grow. And,
I'll give that a try, because I have chia seed.
Yeah. And you've got a nice long length along the driveway, don't you?
We do.
Just sprinkle it out there. And just let it come up. And it's known for lowering the blood pressure, like at least 5 to 10 points. And it will stabilize blood sugars. It's a real high source of protein. It lowers inflammation levels. It's really high in the omega-3s, even higher than salmon, like 10 times higher, I think, or something like that, more than salmon. And really, because of this, of course, it lowers the potential for a heart attack, especially in women, which is really great. And then ginger. And we mentioned ginger tea last week on the radio show, so I'll let you listen to that one to get the details on that. But just as a little aside, ginger is, you know, really great for preventing nausea. Of course, we all know it's what you use for motion sickness or morning sickness, and it's a carminative, so it helps us to get rid of gas in our system. And this is a rhizome. And Frank and I have an ornamental ginger growing in the backyard. We don't have the medicinal, but it's a beautiful, beautiful plant and really wonderful and easy to grow. And before you, I should have mentioned this, before you get out your pencil and paper to try to take notes, If any of you would like my personal list of actually top 52 favorite herbs and their healing properties and the plant parts that are used, just send me an email either to the box to the left-hand side of the screen there if you're listening online, or go to my website and contact me at my website, stepintomagic.com, on the contact page. And, you know, we'll just start with these top five here. But if you get into these, you can go ahead and use this list. And I like to recommend that people study, you know, really get into a study with these herbs. There's 52 of them, so study one a week and really explore it. Maybe get a little bit at the co-op or order some online. They're widely available and easy to grow for the most part, almost all of these, all but two, I think. And just have some fun playing with them. Let it be a little homework assignment for you if you'd like. And, you know, you can start to build your own apothecary. An apothecary is like an herbal pharmacy in your own home. And this is very empowering for us to be able to have these herbs that we can use. It's so nice to be able to have something on hand so that if a friend or a loved one comes in and they've got a problem, maybe it's a herpes on a lip or whatever, you can just go to your herbal reserves and grab something to help them and, you know, go out to the backyard and there's chia or Vitex or whatever it is that you might need. And so I really like to encourage you to go ahead and do that. And I got inspired to do this myself, it was probably about maybe 10 years ago. We have some apartment houses behind our home. And there's a lot of times there's folks that are there who maybe just newly moved up from South or Central America. And I noticed one woman walking by, and I don't think that English was probably not her first language, probably from South America. And as she was walking by, this beautiful young woman, she suddenly stopped on the sidewalk and did a double take. And I saw her bend down next to my wormwood plant, my artemisia plant, which is a great vermifuge, which means that it will kick parasites out of the body. It invites parasites to leave. And she bent down and she put her face right into the herbs of the plant, you know, into the leaves. And I could see her inhaling deeply and she smiled. I was just observing her out the window. She didn't know I was watching. And I could see her like she was just greeting an old friend. And then she sort of surreptitiously looked left and looked right and then picked a little bit and then turned about face and went the other direction like she was heading back towards her home. And I thought, how wonderful, you know, here's this beautiful woman who recognized an old friend here growing right by the side of the road in this little parkway, you know, the sidewalk and the front lawn, and there's this little parkway with this lovely artemisia growing there. And she went, probably took it home to give to her young child or something, you know, knowing a wise woman that she was, because herbal healing, you know, has long been in the hands of the wise women healers and the wise men healers, the shamans among us all. And so I just thought, God, this is fabulous. And it's inspired me to go ahead. There were some students living across the street and just put in a garden of 30 different medicinal herbs along the parkway, along the sidewalk there. Just like right alongside the lawn, and there's some beautiful flowering plants in there too, some daisies and things, but right next to it is comfrey and lemongrass and motherwort, and they're all there. And I thought how wonderful it would be if all of our sidewalks across all of our nations had these beautiful apothecaries growing in them. So anyway, that's my little story. And perhaps I should talk about Super Tonic now, Tony, would you like?
Oh, I'd love it if you talk about Super Tonic. I swear by it.
And I'm sorry I'm so dominating the conversation, but I just...
Well, you have a lot to say.
This is one of my very, very favorite topics. So Super Tonic is one that I learned from the great Dr. Richard Schultz, who has the American Botanical Pharmacy, and I can't recommend him strongly enough. His website is www.herbdoc.com, H-E-R-B-D-O-C.com, or you can dial 1-800-HERB-DOC, and that'll put you in touch with him. And I recommend that everybody just ask for his free herbal product catalog. It reads like an herbal text. He's got beautiful pictures of the herbs and then what they do, what the chemicals are that are involved, and what their actions are in the body. It's a wonderful resource, and it's free. And then from there you can see his different products, and I use a lot of his products in our health and healing, and he's just a wonderful natural healer. And so he did a video some years back on how to make his supertonic, and I've been making it ever since. And we use this to fight off colds and flus. And what you do is you take roughly equal parts of these different herbs, and it's onions and garlic and horseradish and ginger and some sort of strong chili pepper like a habanero or a jalapeno. And then you put them in the blender, chop them loosely. Of course, you peel the onion and you peel the garlic, but the rest of it you don't have to peel at all. Don't peel the ginger, don't peel the peppers, don't peel the horseradish. Chop it coarsely, put it in the blender with, I like to use that, Bragg's raw apple cider vinegar. And then you go ahead and whir that up in the blender, and that makes like an unbelievable salsa. And after, I usually let it sit in the fridge for a day or two to just really give all the goodness to the vinegar, because the vinegar is another extracting material that can pull goodness out of plants. And then I squeeze that through what's called a nut milk bag, and I get all the pulp out. And you could do it with a nice, clean, organic, you know, cotton T-shirt or whatever, the same thing, a nice piece of cloth in a big bowl, and you could just squeeze it out. I like to use the nut milk bag. Or, you know, you can go to a place and get a paint strainer. They're pretty tough, too, and we use those as well, a nice, new, clean paint strainer. And squeeze out the pulp, and then you can dry that pulp if you like to in a dehydrator. It makes a wonderful spice to put onto pizzas or, you know, whatever food you're eating. And then, as well, you can use that juice. This is the juice. The supertonic is the juice, that juice that you've squeezed out from the pulp. And I'll make up a big quart jar of it, you know, if I've used a whole onion and a big bunch of garlic and all that, it'll make about maybe 2 quarts. And you don't need to refrigerate it, because, believe me, no self-respecting germ is going to grow in that stuff. You can just set it on the cool, dark place, you know, on the back.
Yeah, they just call it better taste. That's what it is.
That's true. So it's ginger, peppers, chili peppers, horseradish, garlic, onions, and in vinegar. And then squeeze out the supertonic. And then I will take, like, an ounce of that supertonic, or two, and I'll put it in a quart jar with maybe an ounce or two of echinacea extract. Nice, strong echinacea. I like the Gaia herbs myself. Gaia herbs, G-A-I-A herbs. They've got a super echinacea that's very strong. Or Dr. Schultz's echinacea is fabulous, too. And go ahead and put those two together, an ounce or two of each, and then add in about two cups of orange juice, freshly squeezed, and then fill up the quart jar the rest of the way with water and sip on that all day. And at the first sign of getting a cold, I find that if I jump right on it, as soon as I have that little uh-oh feeling, you know, like, ooh, gosh, you know, nah, I don't know, if I jump on that supertonic, I can fight it off. It's just great. So that's the little recipe for supertonic.
Oh, yeah, and I can say without any doubt at all, it's just miraculous. It's magical.
It is.
The times that I felt like, oh, I'm coming down with something, and Josephine's quickly gone and got me some. The first time I ever drank it, it was very difficult. The taste was really bad. But, you know, it's funny. It kind of like grows on you after a while. And after a while, maybe it's because you know it's doing you so much good.
Yeah.
You kind of like you ignore the taste.
Yeah,
anyway.
That's true.
I don't know. But, Josephine, I just quickly like to get in a couple of messages.
Oh, sure. Yes, that would be lovely.
Okay, and here's a question from Rose, and she writes, did you say how much chia seed to take a day? Thank you, Rose.
Chia, yes. I usually go for about a tablespoon a day. I love it. I put it in my smoothies. And
oh, that's more than me. I think I'm a teaspoon.
About a teaspoon. And you know what's very fun to do is I will sometimes take a tablespoon and put it in a dry, empty quart jar. So dry because it'll stick if there's any moisture. And then I quickly fill up the quart jar about a third of the way with water and shake it very vigorously, because chia seed can clump together and make a glob, but I like to have it be sort of separate. And then after I've shaken it vigorously for about, oh, maybe a minute, so that the seeds are nice and separated from each other and starting to take up the water, because that's one of the things about chia. It really absorbs water quickly and creates that mucilaginous coating on the seed that is so great for our colons and so beneficial for aiding with problems like, you know, constipation or a sluggish bowel. It's just wonderful for the colon. and then I'll fill up the jar the rest of the way with water and shake it some more. And then I have this clear water jar that is filled with these chia seeds spaced evenly throughout the inside of the jar within the water. And it looks, we always refer to it kind of jokingly as, yes, I'm drinking my frog spawn.
It looks like frog spawn, yeah.
But it's wonderful. And it's, you know, I kind of like a little entertainment when I'm taking my water or my, so I usually have some herbal tea or I'll put in some chia seed and shake it like I just described because it makes it more fun to drink, get a lot of fluids down. And, you know, we're all trying to get our 128 ounces of fluids down a day, and so anything that can entertain us to get more fluid down is a good thing.
So, Josephine, let me ask you this question then. Do you take these five herbs, these top five, all the time?
No, I don't take them all the time. What I tend to do is I tend to take them when they, you know, what I would call wink at me. And so I do that with my supplements as well. So if there's something that, you know, I'm kind of like, I'll leave some of them out on the counter, and if something's sort of catching my attention, like, oh, maybe it's Icelandic sea kelp or something, I'll think, oh, yeah, I'll take a couple of those. Maybe I need a little iodine for my thyroid or something. And I'll just sort of keep them out there, and I would like to encourage everybody to do that for a homework assignment this week. Just notice what supplements and what herbs are sort of winking at you, maybe calling to you, and ask within and see if that's something you'd like to explore or experiment with. Maybe if you would like to look at, you know, these slides, these lists that we're giving out tonight, too, maybe there's a particular herb that's speaking to you right now already, like you're thinking, oh, yeah, chia seed, how wonderful. Or, yes, ginger, I really like ginger. Maybe I'll explore that a little bit. So just let that be something that you spend a little time dancing with this week and see how it works out for you. And so I'd like to go into my next slide then, Tony, if that's all right.
Oh, of course. See, we're going to struggle to get through them all.
Well, we're going to try.
We're going to try.
So there's cayenne pepper at the top of the list. And that one, of course, we've mentioned already that it is in the immune building category because it really moves the blood. And we want to get those good phytochemicals all around the body in the case of a cold or a flu. So the cayenne really moves the blood. And like I said, it's really anti-cold and flu. It's really anti-viral, anti-biotic, and it's antifungal. So that's a wonderful one. And you use the peppers for the cayenne.
Oh, could you I have a quick question on that. What if you
yes.
don't like cayenne peppers? Is there any way you can take it?
Yes. Well, I actually don't like cayenne peppers either.
Thinking of my dad because he really doesn't like that kind of thing.
Yeah, I use it liberally medicinally, but almost never culinarily. So culinary herbs are herbs that we use in the kitchen for enjoying with our meals, and medicinal herbs are in the other category. So the way that your dad can take it is in capsule form.
Okay.
If he can. Well, I would assume. Everybody should always check with their doctors, of course, for all of these recommendations. And these are just, you know, my little ways that I look at things. So my own opinions. So that's what I would say that, you know, he might want to try.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And then lobelia. Now, lobelia is one of these, the leaves and seeds is one of these great herbs. And both cayenne and lobelia together are like your emergency herbs. So in the case of, like, for instance, my dad had a quadruple bypass surgery. And so one of the things that can really start a heart moving again is a heavy dose of cayenne. And I thought, well, if I'm going to recommend to my dad that he take a whole bottle of cayenne extract if he feels his heart stop, then I should try it first. And I did, and I found myself, I literally jumped my entire body into the kitchen sink. I was so shocked that I did that.
Oh, wow.
To try to get my face underneath the faucet. It was just a funny reaction that happened because when I took this ounce or two of really strong cayenne extract in a tincture, in a, you know, alcohol extracted, it just set me right on fire. But let me tell you, it got my heart going, that's for sure.
Is that something that you can use on cuts to keep them clean?
Yes,
very
you
painful,
can.
But you
yeah,
can.
It does sting, but it is one of those ones that you can use in that way. And we keep a little bottle of cayenne tincture by each of our bedsides and also in the glove compartment of the car, and I carry it in my purse. Because if you do feel something, well, if I was to feel a heart attack coming on, that's the first thing I would do is I would grab my cayenne and take it. And then lobelia works in the opposite way. Lobelia is the thing that relaxes the body. So the cayenne picks you up and gets you moving, and lobelia settles you down. So in the case of, you know, spasms or contractions or, you know, seizure type situations. That's
and is that
how,
for psychological things as well or just physical?
Absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm. But that's how it's been used traditionally throughout the millennia. And lobelia is one of those herbs that has been more or less sort of pulled off the market. You know, there's that whole situation that is constantly going on where our supplements and our herbs, the ability for us to access them is regularly threatened in the legal venues of our governments. And so I like to really recommend, and I really strongly encourage all of you to check out this one website. It's called Alliance for Natural Health USA. And the Alliance for Natural Health has really been fighting hard and helping us to protect our freedoms to be able to access these herbs and nutritional supplements so that we can empower ourselves with taking our own health and healing into our own hands when it's appropriate for us to do so. And so I really would encourage you to check that out. That's the Alliance for Natural Health USA. And I used to get a journal called Health Freedom News, and I think that they've probably morphed into this Alliance for National Health. I recognize some of the names. And it was a wonderful magazine, and I, you know, got it for years and years. And I was first introduced to it by my mentor and teacher, Dr. Charles Otto, who many of you who live in the San Luis Obispo area may remember. He was a remarkable healer. Anyway, it's a wonderful thing to try to support with our energies to keep our access to herbs and supplements free so that we can use them to treat our own selves and our families when it's appropriate. And then the next one in this list is milk thistle seed extract. And this is the one that is known for really protecting and healing the liver. And milk thistle is one of the herbs that I always have on hand because it, and I will sometimes take it, like when I'm doing my liver detoxes, I will use milk thistle. Dr. Schultz's 5-day liver detox includes milk thistle in it. And it actually protects the liver cells from poisons, and it also detoxifies the liver from poisons, and then it also aids with digestion. And again, here, this one, we are using the seeds and the whole plant, but mostly the seeds. And then hawthorn berry, oh my gosh, dried hawthorn berries, this is perhaps my favorite herb, one of my, well, it should have been in the top five, because it is really a fabulous herb. And this one, so milk thistle is for the liver, hawthorn is for the heart, and ginkgo biloba, the next one, is for the brain. And hawthorn is, it balances the firing of the heartbeat, so the Purkinje fibers that stimulate the beat of the heart, it organizes that beat. It lowers or raises blood pressure accordingly to what we need. It also prevents and protects from arrhythmias. And it's just a wonderful all-around, and it's a lovely tree. And it was the hedgerows of ancient Europe were, and especially through England, you probably have seen some of those.
Yeah, we get lots of hawthorn bushes.
Yeah,
they're everywhere.
And those hedgerows, those were like apothecaries. They were available for everyone. They had rose hips for vitamin C and hawthorn for the dried berries for the heart. They had milk thistle growing in there. They had all the wonderful
names. They were great for the wildlife as well and
great.
For the birds and things.
Yes, absolutely. A habitat for wildlife as well as an apothecary for everyone who lived in the area. And then lastly, ginkgo biloba. This we use the fall leaves, and these really this really oxygenates the brain. This is the golden leaves of fall. And they thought that this plant was extinct, but then they found it growing outside the monasteries in China. In the West, we thought it was extinct. And, of course, the monks grew that there, the tall column-shaped trees, sometimes 30, 40 feet tall, because they really do help the mind. And so in my backyard, I've got ginkgo and hawthorn growing, and something that you could grow in your backyard, too, probably very easily. So we better jump on to the next slide, I guess, or did you have something you'd like to add, Tony?
Well, I tell you what I would like. I'd really like to read you a message, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
Okay. Hi, Josephine. You are certainly a busy lady as you go about your mother's work. Good for you. And yes, thank you. I would like to have a list of your favorite healing herbs. And also share with you one that I found to add to the mineral tea that I've been making for about 25 years. About a year ago, I came across Fo Tea, or He Shu Wu. I think I've pronounced that correctly, but I'm not absolutely sure. It has about 17 different names. Anyway, after having it in my tea for about 3 months, I noticed that my fingernails were much stronger. Then I saw that my eyebrows were coming back after several years' absence, and now my hair is turning back to its original color of light brown. Pretty amazing stuff.
That's great.
I totally agree with you that herbs are our best friends, and just learned how to make the Indian dish saag. I used baby spinach, but any of the greens will work just fine. Yum. My heart's love to you, Alita.
Oh, how nice. Thank you, Alita, for writing in. And I wonder if one of the names of Hoshu-Wu is Shu-Wu-Pian, because that's one that I've used for hair loss very effectively, and it's by Quality Life Herbs.
Oh, really? That works with hair loss?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you must tell Chloe about that.
Yeah.
She'll have me drinking that every day.
So Quality Life Herbs, they spell it S-H-O-U-W-U-P-I-A-N, Shu-Wu-Pian. And it's one of the Chinese herbs. And, you know, a lot of the Chinese herbs or the Peruvian herbs, or they're all the same sort of herbs that we use across the world. They're, you know, they'll have their Chinese names, but we can look them up and we'll often find, oh, well, that's, you know, chamomile or that's peppermint or whatever it might be. Well, should I go on to the next slide?
I think you had better.
Oh, right. So this one, aloe vera leaf. Oh, my gosh, what a great healer. So capital for burns and really great for healing any kind of skin wound, including deep wounds. It's just amazing. What I do is I take the leaf and I fillet it. I take a nice thick leaf and I gently go underneath the skin and leave the skin behind. I don't use the skin so much. I just use that nice, thick, gelatinous little glumps of yummy aloe vera, and I'll just pack it into a wound or use it on the skin, rub it on the skin for healing. It's just incredible, and especially, like I said, for burns. So then red clover flowers and leaves. Oh, my gosh. So this one I also have growing in my backyard. I've got aloe vera, and I've got red clover. And red clover is a blood purifier and a blood cleanser. It's there's a quote that I can quote the late, great Dr. Christopher, who said that red clover is the antidote for cancer. And that's his quote. It's a beautiful one. And I really like to use red clover tea regularly just because it's such a great lymph and blood cleaner. You know, it's just a wonderful herb to use. So I'll maybe take four or five of the blossoms and pour a little boiling water over it. And I'll as the clover is in its high point, you know, it goes dormant during the winter. So as it's in its high point and blooming beautifully, the bees are coming to work it. And the bees and I will share the nice top growing flowers and leaves. And I'll dry them, and then I'll have them all year to be used during the course of the year. Keep them I store them dry in a cool, dark place, and I make my little red clover tea. And then garlic bulb, of course, garlic, wow, what a healer. My gosh, you know, I think the saying is garlic is as good as 10 mothers. And it's an antibacterial and an antiviral and an antifungal, and it also helps with hypertension. And we use the bulb of the garlic. You just peel. And, you know, if you take the garlic and you just lay a garlic clove down on a cutting board, and you take a nice broad flat knife and you lay the knife side of the blade down, not the cutting edge, but the side of the blade right on top, and then just sort of wham your hand down on top of that, you know, broad flat blade. Or you could do it between two boards. It will smash the garlic, and then it's very easy to peel. The peel just slides right off. And garlic is best used in that sort of smashed condition anyway, because that releases the allantoin, the phytochemical that's in garlic that makes it so effective. And then arnica flowers, we spoke just briefly about that. Arnica and hypericum together, these are your great wound healers. The arnica really does the action of healing the sprains and strains, and the hypericum is the one that really helps the nervous system to settle down and eases pain. And I've had very good results with burns with using aloe vera and then golden seal root powder on the actual burn itself, and then taking homeopathic remedies of arnica and hypericum. Homeopathic is a type of preparation where, and it used to be used widely in the medical profession until about the 1950s, and then it fell out of favor for some reason. But homeopathics are like just the very whisper, just a little tiny bit of that energy of that plant that's been put into a little pellet, and they can be extremely strong and beneficial. It's sort of like treats like, and arnica and hypericum are great for healing any kind of sprains or strains. And all of these five herbs I grow in my garden, all except for the arnica. Hypericum is very, medicinal hypericum, very easy to grow. It's actually kind of rated as a noxious weed, though, so you don't want to let it get loose in any creek beds. You want to keep it confined into your own backyard, hypericum, because it can take over a little bit. So I know I'm running us late.
Well, we've still got 10 to do, but I'd like to say something about arnica and hypericum. Because
okay.
Do you remember a few months ago when I thought I'd broken my foot?
Yes.
When I fell down the steps and
yes.
I took, arnica and hypericum.
Yeah.
And I had a remarkable recovery.
Yes, you did, didn't you? That was quite a fall.
Remarkable. And there's just a couple of messages I'd like to read out to you,
sure.
Kathy,
sure.
Or to everyone. We've got another one from Simone from Oakland, and she says, I'm imagining your purse looking like an old-fashioned doctor's bag. So glad you mentioned the Alliance for Natural Health. Very important to keep wild medicine free.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, and then we got this one Ina in San Luis Obispo, and he writes,
oh, good.
3 days ago, I put my thumb solidly on a red-hot heating element in my toaster oven, and the kitchen filled with burning flesh scent.
Oh.
I grabbed the bottle of cider vinegar, always sitting by my stove, and soaked a paper towel and put it on. Now and then I added some cider vinegar to keep the injury wet. After about 20 minutes, I looked at my thumb, and there was barely a trace of the injury, nor any pain. I've used this trick for years, and it never fails.
Wow, that's a beautiful one. Thank you, Einer. That is great. Yeah, and vinegar, you know, we use it to preserve things because stuff doesn't grow in vinegar. It's like a wonderful, beautiful liquid for us to use for keeping infection at bay.
It is. Oh, and quickly one more.
Yes.
Hi, Josephine. It's Rosalie.
Oh.
What is a good source of information about how herbs work? When I use Google to ask about an herb, it tells me what it is and even gives me a recipe sometimes, but not what it does for the body. Like, is the herb good for the brain or stomach or blood, etc.? Thank you. Love your show. Rosalie.
Well, thanks so much, all of you, and thanks, Rosalie, for that. So, like I said, Dr. Schultz's catalog is a wonderful resource for finding out how the herbs work. And then I've got many, many herb books in my library, but a couple of my favorites are The Complete Medicinal Herbal by Penelope Ody. That's spelled O-D-Y, Penelope Ody, The Complete Medicinal Herbal. And then my first herb book, and maybe one of my favorites, is a wonderful herb book because it's got so loaded with herbs, is called The Herb Book, and it's by John Lust, L-U-S-T, The Herb Book, John Lust. And then, you know, if you have access to a computer, Rosalie, you can just go to your search engine and type in the herb's name, and then I usually type in after that medicinal benefits. And if you type in something like aloe vera medicinal benefits or turmeric medicinal benefits, then you will go ahead and get the list of, it will share with you about how, you know, the herb works in the body and why that herb is good for the stomach or the brain or whatever.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah. Thank you, Josephine.
Yeah.
I know you're keen to get on and talk about more herbs. But before you do, I think it'd be a really good time for me to mention that Josephine has a book available on Amazon called Health and Healing, Tips from a Medical Intuitive. And it could be purchased as a printed copy or an e-book to suit. And if that interests you, just go to the book page of Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. And I can tell you, you won't regret it because it's both fun and highly informative.
Oh.
And just one more message.
Sure.
Dear Josephine, I would love to have the list of your 53 favorite healing herbs. I live in northern Indiana, so growing them year-round would be a problem, but I'm definitely interested anyway. Thank you so much for all your wonderful advice. Blessings to you, Janet.
Oh, that's great, Janet. And, you know, a lot of times when you live in a really cold climate like that, you can grow your herbs in pots, and you can drag the pots into the garage for the wintertime, and or you can bank them heavily with straw and things, because many of the herbs naturally go down under the ground, like comfrey or, you know, whatever it might be. They do have, like red clover, they do have their dormant time. But those roots will thrive underground. Or, like I said, if you can do like you would handle a rose garden in the Midwest. You know, you can do it in pots and bring them in the garage. And they'll manage to keep just warm enough that way that they'll survive the winter. So that's really great. Well, let's move on then to the next slide.
Okay, and after you've done that, I do have a message.
Okay, all right.
Okay, let's do the next slide.
Okay. So this is burdock and pau d'arco, shredded shredded bark, artemisia or wormwood, and corn silks and horsetail stems. And these are for the most part, are kidney herbs. They're just fabulous. So burdock root, a wonderful deep infection fighter. I have burdock growing. I like to grow it in a pot in my backyard. I don't have the problem with the cold, but when I do want some burdock root, it's so much easier than digging it out of the soil if I just dump the pot over and turn it upside down and out comes all the soil and the roots. And I can just grab the roots right out of that nice media that I have it growing in and then take them into the kitchen and chop them up or run them through the juicer or whatever. And burdock is one of those, like I said, it's a deep infection fighter. So if you've got, you know, or if I've had an infection somewhere deep in my body, that's what I reach for. And then plus it's just great to run through the body periodically just in general, so that's why I put it in my juices. And then Pau d'Arco, shredded bark. Now this is one that grows in the equatorial region, so we probably can't grow this in our garden, but it is one of my favorites, so I wanted to include it in the list. And that's because it's an anti-tumor herb, antiviral herb, antibacterial, antifungal, and a blood purifier. So those are just some great properties that, you know, are good for our toning up our body from time to time. And there have been times where I've used Pau d'Arco for several weeks at a time and just really cleaned myself up with it and then, you know, moved on to other herbs, but or not needing an herb at all. And then artemisia and wormwood, that's the one I mentioned earlier that the beautiful woman from South America who was walking by stopped and saw, because this is the big thing about artemisia is it is a vermifuge, which means that it invites the parasites to leave the body. And it's also used what they call as a strewing herb. So you can, you know, put artemisia or wormwood down on the ground around your dog and cat's beds or their dog houses and things, and the insects don't care for the smell and the flavor of it. And I had a wonderful experience with my horse on a couple of occasions where, you know, she was a natural girl, too. She was born and raised wild in the Pryor Mountains of somewhere in Wyoming or Utah or Colorado or something. And she was a Mustang, and she had a wise mama, and her mother taught her how to be an herbologist. And by the time she was taken from the wild, sadly, from her family, and then fortunately wound up in my hands some years later, she remembered all of that wild information that she learned as a little baby horse before 6 months of age. And she knew all the herbs that were growing around our area, and she used them medicinally. So she would chew on, you know, eat gumweed when she would have itchy skin, or she would go to cleavers for urinary tract infections or whatever it might be. And one of the things that she would do occasionally, about once a year, is she would go up to an artemisia bush, and then she would take a little bite, and she would chew it, and she'd make this awful face like, oh, this just tastes so bad, because it really does. And you could just see her like going, yuck, yuck, with every bite. But she would take a big bite full of it and then just stand there and chew it down. Good girl, you know, she's cleaning herself out. And then corn silk, you know, corn silk is, that's just the corn on the cob and those beautiful silks that grow up in the corn silk. This is just wonderful for urinary tract inflammation and for cleaning stones out of the urinary system. And horsetail, hair and nails, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised if some of these Chinese herbs by these interesting names were horsetail, because it is known for really helping us to build I'm forgetting the name, it's not collagen, but it might be collagen in the body. But it really is also known for staunching the bleeding, or for helping children to stop bedwetting, and it's one of those great urinary tract and prostate disorders. It's a fabulous herb and grows so abundantly in creeksides, you know, all over the place and all over the world, really. And we have it growing in a pot in our backyard, and we also have corn silk, of course, is so easy to grow because it's just corn. And these are those herbs, like all of these herbs are these kidney herbs. And if you were to go to Peru or to China and you were to ask the native healers there, they would be using these same herbs, along with probably uva ursi and juniper berry, which are, uva ursi is a type of manzanita, and juniper berry is sometimes known as bearberry because the bears will eat it. It's pretty astringent, but it's another really great, both of those are great kidney tonic herbs, as well as these five that I've listed here, burdock, Pau d'Arco, artemisia, corn silk, and horsetail. Well, the artemisia technically is more of a vermifuge than a kidney herb, but still, they're all good. And I'd like to just mention, too, that I'm not a big fan of standardization and regulation of herbal supplements because, and now there's, you know, there are both sides of this coin because, yes, we want good quality, but usually when there's standardization or regulation, they sort of tend to play to the lowest common denominator, and that usually results in really weak preparations. And instead, I'd rather just people get to know their various brands and producers of these herbs and find the ones that are of good quality by word of mouth or otherwise, the ones that aren't sprayed with fungicides or herbicides, you know, getting something that's very clean and well-prepared and organic. So all of Dr. Schultz's herbal preparations are organic or wildcrafted from really good sources. And so that's a large part of the reason why I really like to use his. And they're really strong. They're super extracted. So getting good quality is really important as well. I just wanted to mention that.
Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. Well, let me just quickly read one message. I know
we're running
out of time. This is from Carl in Australia.
Okay.
And he writes, "Hello, Josephine and Tony. Concerning the garden apothecary, the modern Maya farmer has a solar or garden round the house that is closed in by a brick wall. When a healing plant is found, they throw the seeds in the solar, and after a few hundred years, the garden is chock-a-block with medicines. A young Maya came by my solar and asked for pomegranate seeds to boil and use it as a poultice to heal the itch of chickenpox. Insects were also used, like scorpions, that were dried and pulverized with the dust used in an ointment to kill the chiggers' infestation under the skin. Listen to your plants. They will teach you to heal." Now, he does write a bit more, but unfortunately, I think as we've reached the word count on the message. So I've missed, unfortunately, the last part of Carl's message, but I found that really fascinating.
That is fascinating. Thank you, Carl, so much. Oh, that just sounds so wonderful. The solar for every garden, every home. That's just beautiful. Well, let's move on then to our last one.
You better do this one quick.
Okay, I'll jump right into it. So turmeric cannot be forgotten because it is such a fabulous herb. Many people know about turmeric. It's also known by the name curcumin, and it's an anti-inflammatory, which is so fabulous because most all disease conditions are anti-inflammatory, and it's also considered an anti-rheumatic, which is like all of your, you know, sore joints, that sort of thing. Brain health, great for brain health. Also fabulous for the bowel, you know, irritable bowel or Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. It's a wonderful antioxidant, which, you know, the antioxidant that neutralizes our free radicals in the body. And, again, it reduces neoplastic cells. And as I was saying, those cells that grow really unusually in different forms and shapes and are so aggressive, like our cancer cells, those are considered neoplastic cells. So in that respect, turmeric is felt to be to reduce metastasis and also angiogenesis. And angiogenesis is the excessive blood growth of excessive growth of blood vessels and tumors. So a plant that an herb that can do all of that is a really great, a wonderful healing herb. And we use the root in turmeric. And then feverfew, that's our leaves and blossoms for headaches, especially good for migraines. And then we talked so much about sugar in last week's show, and these two herbs, stevia and gymnema, are the real helpers here. So stevia is called sweet herb, and I grow it in my backyard. I harvest the leaves and boil them down in a little bit of water with a tiny bit of alcohol to make a really thick syrup. And then we use just a couple of drops in whatever we're eating that we want to have a little sweetness in. And then gymnema silvestri, known throughout India and much of the world as the sugar destroyer. Because if you take a little gymnema before you eat something bad at a potluck or in a restaurant that you know you shouldn't eat, the gymnema will occupy the site on the intestinal walls, the various sites for absorption of sugar into the body, and it will prevent the absorption so that will just pass right out of your body instead. And if you put it in your mouth, if you don't take it like in a capsule form, you won't even be able to taste the sugar because you can just drink maple syrup after putting gymnema in your mouth and you will not taste the sweetness because it will block the receptors on your taste buds for being able to even taste it. So it's quite an herb, gymnema silvestri, and then stevia, wonderful. And then these last two here, Vitex, dried berries and wild yam, wonderful for helping us to balance our hormones in the female system. And also in the male system, it's great. And wild yam, you know, just about any type of yam that grows, they're all in the same family. They're that anti-rheumatic and anti-spasmodic, and they're a uterine tonic. and they really help with menopause or with pain during menstruation. And they're also, it's also an aphrodisiac. So on that note, I guess I'll stop right there. And I grow Vitex and Stevia and Feverfew in my own backyard.
Wonderful. Okay, well, thank you so much for that, Josephine.
Sure.
That's been so fascinating and helpful.
And fun.
And fun.
Yeah.
So I'll say then that the link to next week's show can be found on Josephine's website at stepintomagic.com. Simply click on the top menu for radio. And if you have a question or would like to be included in our weekly newsletter, simply go to the contact page of Josephine's website. Again, that's stepintomagic.com, and just send us your message. So, Josephine, any parting words that you'd like to say?
Yes, there are, and thank you so much for that, Tony. So oftentimes I think that the solutions to all of our problems in the world lie in a return to the garden. And as we start cultivating our own foods and medicinal herbs, not only do we get great exercise and spend time out in nature, which spontaneously brings us our guidance and direction in life, but we also free ourselves to tend to the health and well-being of our families and friends. And so in closing, I'd like to thank all of you so very much for giving me the gift of your time. And I'd like to finish with another little blessing, which is, as our gifts are given in love, they are received in love. And we honor their wise use and their increase for all concerned. And so it is.
Thank you so much for that, Josephine. As always, it's been a real pleasure talking with you on the radio, and I trust that everyone listening has learned lots about herbs that heal, the natural pharmacy in your own backyard. This has been show number HLN-2.15, and if you've enjoyed the show, we really hope that you will tell your friends. We look forward to having all of you join us again next week when Josephine will be talking about the role of movement in health and healing.
Tony and I wish you all insight, wisdom, and magic as you pursue the journey of inner knowing. And I hold you all in light and in love. Thank you so much for listening. This is Josephine Lang. Until next week, good night.
Okay.